Thank you, Jesus. Wow. God, you are so good. You are so good, God. I have a prophetic word today, a prophetic message for this house, for Fivefold Church, and for the body of Christ. And boy, is it an exciting prophetic word. Not all prophetic words are exciting. They're all good because they're God. They're from God. But not all of them are exciting. But this one, I am just so excited and thankful to God for. Are you ready? Yeah. Amen. So in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, it says, "There is a season, a time appointed for everything, and a time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven." So God has made there to be different seasons in your own personal life, different seasons in the body of Christ in general, different seasons in different works, moves that he is doing. And there is definitely such season as a wilderness season. Amen? We see the Israelites going 40 years in the wilderness before they reached the promised land. Now, a big reason that they were in the wilderness for so long was because they chose to not transform and trust God. And so that delayed them in the wilderness. But it's not just that they were in the wilderness for a while because they were disobedient. The wilderness is a must season, always. We can never skip the wilderness. It's one of those seasons we just have to go through. And so we see with many people in the Word of God, they didn't really like be disobedient, do anything wrong to get them into the place of being stuck in the wilderness, but they had to go through the wilderness nonetheless. Such as Jesus, even. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Actually led. It was no accident. But God wanted him there. He wanted him there for a purpose. He had to go through this. We all have to go through the wilderness, the main reason, to prepare us for the promised land, to refine us. This is where the refining fire takes place, is in the wilderness. So the wilderness is not a bad thing. It's just a necessary thing. We also see in the story of David, he wasn't doing anything wrong, but he was thrown into the wilderness of being chased by Saul just because of jealousy, chased to death by Saul. And so for a long time, we have David, he starts off getting this amazing prophecy, amazing word of God that he's called to be this king. He's anointed. He receives this anointing upon his life. And then we see the favor upon his life. He even does such an amazing thing through God of defeating the enemy of Goliath. We see David doing these amazing things for God. And then we then see even him being a blessing to Saul. And Saul has him come and play the harp so that he can be delivered of demonic spirits. So he's doing all these good things, but then the wilderness hits before he makes it to be king. So then the wilderness hits, and Saul is coming after him and trying to kill him. And that takes place before he reaches the place of his fulfillment of his purpose to be king. Then we see in the story of Joseph. Joseph didn't do anything wrong. He just shared about the amazing dream that God gave him, what God showed him, this vision. And the next thing you know, his brothers are jealous, throw him in a pit to try to kill him. And that was his wilderness. We know that God allowed this, just as he allowed it with David, just as he allowed it with Jesus. God allowed this wilderness for Joseph to take place. He was thrown in the pit, then he was in the prison, and was in that wilderness before he made it to be in that position, that high position where his purpose was fulfilled, where the dream came to pass. Amen. So these wilderness seasons are a must whether we are disobedient or obedient, if you're perfectly obedient, you still have to go through the wilderness. Numbers 33, verse 11. So the context of this scripture that we're about to read right now is that the Israelites, the people of God, they were in the wilderness and they were roaming and roaming and roaming around. They were going from here and there, from one place to another place. And this is all God's doing. This wasn't them like guessing where they're supposed to go. This was God's hand upon them, God guiding them supernaturally. But yet they were going here and there and everywhere, not on a direct line that makes sense to the promised land. So it says in Numbers 33, verse 11, they moved out from the Red Sea and camped in the wilderness of Sin. They moved out from the wilderness of Sin and camped at Dothka. They moved out from Dothka and camped at Alush. They moved out from Alush and camped at Rephidim. Now it was there that the people had no water to drink. They moved out from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai, where they remained for about a year. They moved out from the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Kibroth Hattaavah. And this is just the beginning. It goes on and on and on and on. You can read it later. Numbers 33, you can read it later. And I was reading this, and God reminds me of something. As I was preparing to come to this beautiful place that God has opened the door to for us to worship him in at Fivefold Church, God took me on a journey of remembrance yesterday. He spoke to me, I want you to go through, like in your mind, in your memory, everywhere I have taken you at Fivefold Church from the beginning. So I did. I sat there and I really had to think back, and I went through it. So I'm going to take you through it right now. We started out 7 years ago this June on Mulholland Drive on an overlook little spot that holds like maybe 15 people that overlooks the valley in LA. It was worship nights. We put posts in Facebook groups that said, come worship with us on the mountain. So that's where we started. And from there, we then went to Pan Pacific Park Senior Activity Center, like a gym space, auditorium space, just for a couple weeks. Then we went to a small room in Koreatown for just a couple weeks. And then we moved out from there to the American Legion on Hollywood in like Highland area, in the basement where you had to go through a industrial kitchen to get there. And then we then went back to Pan Pacific Park Senior Activity Center in the like gym auditorium space. Then COVID hit. So then we had to move out because we were renting this space and they didn't rent it to us during when COVID broke out. So then we had church service in the living room online for like a month or so. And then we went back to Pan Pacific Park, this time outside in the park, in the amphitheater. And at that time, it was COVID time still, it was 2020, and they wouldn't allow you to get a permit because it was COVID times. Things were just different, right, back then. So it was first come, first serve. So sometimes we announce the church at a certain time, we announced it, we show up to the amphitheater, and there is a comedy show going on. So here we are, it was Chantal and I with a huge wagon of all of the equipment. It was just the two of us, with a piano, with the music stand, with the mic stand, everything, a sign. And we wheeled on the grass and found a little spot on the grass and set up there. And two people came, a few people came. One of them was just standing the whole time. We don't have chairs or anything. So we did that. And then we went back to we went to Echo Park and we had service there. And then we went back to Pan Pacific Park in the amphitheater. And it was there when we went back that a video went viral. God made a video to go viral, breathed upon it with his anointing, and there was thousands of testimonies in the comments of people receiving miracles, which led to 2 months later, we grew from 5 people in the park in the amphitheater to about 25-ish people because of that viral video. And on one day in March, with 20-something people there, a couple people flew across the country to encounter God at our service in the park. And God made a demon to manifest and leave a woman. For the first time, we witnessed that. Praise God. And then, hallelujah. And then that video went viral, and deliverance kept happening, and those videos went viral too. And so 2 months later, 300 people were overflowing out the amphitheater at that Pan Pacific Park. Hallelujah. And then we were there for some months, for a handful of months. And then we're out in a public space. So there's going to be spiritual warfare. We don't have the luxury of owning your own church building type thing. So basically, the people in the park didn't really like the noise of demons leaving or some. Basically, long story short, so we were kicked out. And we had to find another place to worship God. So we then went to Griffith Park. And at that time, permits were still hard to get. We didn't have a permit. We worshiped there. It was too loud. They didn't like us there. So then we had to move to the Archer Museum at Griffith Park. And then from there, we moved out from there for to Elysian Park, where we stayed for about one year. And from there, at last, God led us, opened the door to have a building, to worship in a building. And so for 1 year, we were at Mission Road in Los Angeles, just a few minutes from here. And now we're here. Woo! Hallelujah. So God was like, God told me, I want you to go through all of that. And after I went through all of that, I realized, wow, this was wilderness. Not just literally the wilderness in the park, but this was wilderness. We're saying revivals now, and it was, but it was still wilderness. And Numbers 33, verse 11, if you look at this, it says they moved out from one and they go to the other. They moved out from one, they go to the other. They moved out from one, they go to the other, where they remain for about a year. Doesn't that sound familiar? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. So this is just a few chapters later, okay, when we're reading the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, a few chapters later from what I just read to you is Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known about your wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. And that is true for us too. In the wilderness that we were out of going here, there, everywhere, in different parks, God was with us. He knew about us. His hand was with us, and we lacked nothing. He always provided. Whenever we didn't know where to go next, we didn't know which park to go next, he provided another park. He always kept providing. He is so faithful. Deuteronomy 2, verse 1. So we're going to go backwards a few scriptures of what we just read. It says, then we turned and set out for the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. So this is the Israelites saying, we turned and set out for the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, just as the Lord had told me. And we circled Mount Seir for many days. Okay, so they weren't just like not thinking and not knowing where to go. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you're going around in a circle in a mountain, right? God's hand was upon them. God wanted them to go around and around and around and around. This is where God was leading them. So this was intentional. This was what God wanted. God was leading them around and around and around this mountain. So we circled Mount Seir for many days, and the Lord spoke to me saying, verse 3, "You have circled this mountain long enough. You have circled this mountain long enough. Turn northward." So in other words, it's time to exit off this roundabout and go another direction. The road that will take you somewhere, the road that will take you out of the wilderness, the road that leads to the revival wave, revival in its fullness. So this is the prophetic word today. God has said to us as a church and as this revival movement, you have circled around long enough. It's time to exit the roundabout. And it's time to get on the revival wave highway. Hallelujah. We are in the end time revival right now. That doesn't, when I say that, it doesn't mean like we believe Jesus is coming any second. We don't know the time that he's coming. But this is not like a doomsday type thing. End time revival, this means it is time for the bride to be prepared. It's time for a lot of work to be done before Jesus returns. It's time simply for it to look like the Acts Church again in the body of Christ. Now, it's time for the anointing, the power of God to be restored and to be embraced and welcomed in the church. It's time for the healing of the sick and the casting out of demons to be embraced and welcomed in the church. And for that to be a regular part of ministry in every church, just as it was in the Acts Church. Just as it was in the ministry of Jesus. It's time for the fivefold ministry to be restored and embraced. As we see in the Acts Church, the apostles and the prophets alongside of evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Hallelujah. It's time for the weak and foolish things, the ones that God anoints, to really be allowed to be anointed. And not to be overlooked by worldly systems. And traditions and man-made religious traditions. Like you have to have a certain doctorate, go to a certain school, have a certain connection, have a certain networking connection with somebody, be a child of a pastor or something. No, it's time for the weak and foolish ones that are truly anointed by God to be accepted, to be able to lead as God has called them to. It's time for the body to be pure. The whole body, the sheep and the leaders, the shepherds, to be pure. To not have secret sin, to have pure hearts, not jealousy hidden, but true pure hearts, hearts of God. That's what we saw in the Acts Church, and this is what God is restoring now. So we are in the end time revival. It has began. It has started. And it's been here. It has been here, this revival. A lot of people think, revival's not here yet, it's coming. No, it is here. It has been here. But there is something I want to let you in on, Fivefold Church. What we have seen of this revival is maybe like 1%, if that, of what God has in store. When God says revival is now, like that's what he means. Like this is like nothing what we have seen so far. That's a big reason why a lot of people don't get it, that revival is now. It's because only 1% has been seen so far, if that. And something I'll share with you is that I'm just so excited today. I'm so excited for what God has spoken to me for this new season, for the significance of today. I am so excited. I know something has been shifting that me personally and me as a shepherd of Fivefold Church and a leader in this revival, I've been yearning for and hungering for more than 7 years. More than 7 years ago now is when I received that first prophecy over my life, and this prophecy about revival is now for the whole body of Christ. It's been more than 7 years. And there was a lot to that prophecy. There was a lot. And there was a lot of other words, prophecies, words of God that God's spoken to me about this revival. How far it will reach. The boundaries it will go across. That have not come to pass yet. And so I'm telling you that most days of these past 7 years of my life, most days I've been hungry. I've been hungry. Because I know what was promised, and I know it doesn't look like what was promised yet. I know it looks like 1% of what was promised. And so even until now, even though it's been revival, it's still been somewhat wilderness. And it will make sense as you see in the coming days and year. It will make sense what I'm saying now. When you see God shock us with how he moves in mighty power, breaking down every barrier, silencing the religious voices that try to push down the revival. And the places the word of God will be preached and the power of God will go to, the places in media it will go to, the unreached places of society, in media, things like this, that we've never even seen happen as a whole body of Christ. This is what God's up to in this revival. Hallelujah. We haven't seen anything yet. Hallelujah. So, this word is for us today, for you today, for the body of Christ today. It's time to step out of the wilderness. It's time. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Genesis 35:5. Okay, now we're going to go to the story of Jacob. Jacob went through so many trials, so many hard things he was going through, him and his family. They were journeying through so many. I mean, he was afraid of his brother. There was just, so they were running away from his brother. It was so much he was going through. And, but God was with him. God was with him, and God had great plans for him. And all of a sudden, something significant happens in Jacob's life. After him going through such a wilderness, something powerful happens. Genesis 35:5. As they journeyed, Jacob and his family, there was a great supernatural terror sent from God on the cities around them. And for that reason, the Canaanites did not pursue the sons of Jacob. I'm going to read the Passion Translation. It says, as they made their way to Bethel, so he was on his way to Bethel, to where God was going to meet him, something powerful was going to take place, appointed by God. So they were on their way to Bethel, and God's hand came upon them, protected them, so that they could do what God had called them to do. And it says, as they made their way to Bethel, a tremendous fear of God fell upon all the cities around them, and no one dared pursue them. Wow. So this is what Genesis 35:9, a couple of scriptures later, it says, now that Jacob had returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again at Bethel. God blessed him, saying, your name is Jacob. We will not be called Jacob any longer. From now on, your name will be Israel. So God renamed him Israel. Then God said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. You will become a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants, and I will give you the land I once gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants after you. So this was the context. So God was about to do something mighty, right? And so God needed to make sure that what he wanted to do, including Jacob, was going to happen. So God intervened and did something supernatural. He placed a fear of God, not just any kind of fear of God, tremendous fear of God. Other translations call it a terror upon people. Now, not just upon anybody, but upon Jacob and his family's enemies. Hallelujah. That's our God. Aren't you glad to have the same God as Jacob? Woo! That's amazing. Sometimes the word of God is just incredible. It always is, you know, but sometimes, like this moment, wow, that's our God. That's our God who's going to protect us in the same way. And so this is a prophetic word as well. Because God is ready to move. The time of wilderness is done. Because God is ready to move, he's ready for his revival to increase. And increase and increase and elevate and reach more and more people. Because of this, he cannot have the enemies beating him, stopping him, stopping his move, stopping his servants, stopping the truth from being known. The truth of who he is, that he's a God of power, that he destroys yokes. The truth of how he wants his church to be. He wants his fivefold ministry. The truth that apostles and prophets are around today. The truth that he has poured out his spirit upon all flesh, men and women. And there's now no longer no slaves, no male or female in Christ. We are one. And God wants to use men and women alike in the roles of leadership as well. That truth cannot be suppressed anymore by the enemies. False accusations, lies that are made up by enemies, just as they were in the word of God. Just as the one that came after, the woman that said, Joseph slept with me. Joseph didn't sleep with her. She made that up out of thin air. The same kind of false accusations that come around today against true servants of God, just like Joseph was a true servant of God. God cannot allow those lies to prevail. He cannot. And so in the past, what we see in wilderness is the wilderness kind of feels like the enemy's winning, right? But he's not. It's just like Job. Job, everything was taken from him except for his life, but God allowed it. So it wasn't like the enemy was winning. Don't give him that credit. God allowed it for good. God allowed it for his glory. God ended up restoring so much of what was lost, even more. So his life was so much better and more blessed after all that was taken from Job than even before. Right? And so, but the wilderness, it feels like the enemy's winning. But he's not. God's allowing it. God's allowing the devil to do things. Yes, yes. But it's temporary. It's not permanent. And so this is what's happening now. Like, even in this move of God, even even in this ministry, in areas where it felt like the enemy was winning. I mean, you know, the Bible says that God gives and takes away. Job says after like everything was taken from Job, like his family was taken from Job, he then says the Lord gives and takes away. And I mean, this is basically saying the Lord gives blessings, and then sometimes when he wants to take us through a refining fire, through a wilderness, he'll allow the devil to take things, take blessings temporarily, but he will give again, and he will give more. Amen. So, and I mean, I experienced that. I mean, even at our church, I experienced when there was, it was actually exactly 2 years ago this week, there was these false accusations, these lies made up about me, and they were spread about me and the ministry. And we had probably like 250-ish people coming to the church. Revival had broke out, and we were about 250 to 300 every week. And then when those lies went around, and they were pure evil made up lies, when they went around, some people, they were confused. So many people left. We dwindled down to about 100 something people, almost like half people left. But God was so good to restore. When we moved into our building in the beginning of 2023, in just a couple months, we had like doubled in size from like less than 200 to 350 or something like that. Glory to God. And even before then, when the first year of Fivefold Church, we had a different name back then, but the first year there was about 20 or something people, and the next year there was 15, the next year was 10, the year before that was 5, the year before that was 2. It was COVID times. There was 2 at one point. So I remember I had a TikTok account supernaturally took off for the glory of God. That was where the first video went viral, where God moved in power, which literally like led to revival breaking out. It was one TikTok video. So my TikTok account within just like 9 months reached 1.3 million followers. Supernatural. I didn't pay or anything. I didn't put like ads or something like that. Supernatural. But then it was very obvious, the same timing that the revival was growing and God was being glorified like never before, and so many people were being free like never before, we could totally see the devil was mad. And one of the attacks we saw was a TikTok account was taken down with no explanation. And then we worked hard and we got it restored. And then a couple months later, it was taken down, and we kept reaching out, and we couldn't get a response from TikTok. And to this day, it didn't come back. We started a new one. It's up to like 150 something thousand right now. Glory to God. But I share that to say, I know about God gives and takes away for his purposes. And I'm glad he does that, because looking back, I see why. I mean, everything, all the blessings that God gives us are not for ourselves. They're for his glory. They're for his purposes and for his glory. So whenever we get a blessing from God, we should see it for what it is. And we shouldn't say, thanks God, that's mine, I deserve this, and run with it. But rather, we should see it as, this is God's, and I am so blessed to be entrusted with this. And if he were to want to take it away, that's okay, because all I need is him. And I am grateful for everything, even breath in my lungs, I'm not entitled to. That's humility, amen? And that's what we need to be the best vessel of God we can be and the most pleasing to God we can be. And so God will do things to refine your heart, to test your humility, to see how much you care about certain blessings. And so looking back, I am grateful for all that God has done, all the giving and taking away, because it's truly refined my heart. Because I truly feel so much more grateful for every blessing he gives. And to see every person sitting here, I feel so grateful that God has brought you here. And I feel so honored to be a vessel of God that God can use to touch you here. And I don't take it lightly. And I think I might have taken it more lightly if God hadn't have taken me through those things. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So understanding the season. So it's important you understand the season, because when you see things happen like that, you can be like, why is the enemy allowed to win? Maybe this is a Job moment. Maybe this is the Joseph in the pit moment. Maybe this is the Saul chasing after David moment in your life, in your ministry's life. That's a good thing, because that means you're in God's will. It's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean the devil's winning. It means you're going higher. It means you're right on track. You're on course. You have to go to the wilderness to get to the promised land. You can't skip it. So if you find yourself in the wilderness, you're on track. You're in God's will. Hallelujah. Let's not complain. Let's be spiritual. And let's just thank God and get through it with contentment and joy. Amen? So we went through that season. And that season is over. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I say this prophetically. We are going to see the hand of God silence the enemies. Silence the enemies of this revival. Truly, supernaturally, just as this happened in the Word of God with the Canaanites, with the enemies, the same thing is going to happen today. God is going to move in supernatural power and cause supernatural fear of God to come upon these people, the enemies, and we'll silence them, we'll stop them. So truly nothing can stop what God has planned. Nothing can stop his revival. Nothing can stop his plan to deliver millions of people, heal millions of people, save millions of his people, transform his bride, beautify his bride, use who he wants to use. Nothing can stop this anymore. In the areas where it felt like, God, it feels like the enemy's winning. No more. It's time. It's time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to be hope for the poor, freedom for the brokenhearted, and new eyes for the blind, and to preach to prisoners, you are set free. I have come to share the message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun. I shared this scripture as one of the scriptures of the word of the year, the word of 2024, is that this revival wave is here this year, has come and is here this year, and it's time to catch this wave. And I shared this verse, the year of the Lord's great acceptance. So just as when Jesus spoke this message, it was the appointed time. Years passed. I mean, his mother was wanting him to do miracles, but it wasn't the appointed time yet. It wasn't the acceptable year of the Lord yet, the year of the Lord's favor. But when Jesus spoke this, it was a different season. The season had changed, and it was now time of the Lord's great acceptance, meaning like he is making it so his ways must be accepted. The enemies cannot quench the fire, the Holy Spirit anymore. He must be accepted. Hallelujah. And God will cause your personal enemies that have tried to fight you. He will cause the fear of God to come upon them. Even people in your life, even family members that you've noticed it be like a heaviness on you when you're just trying to do the work of God. And you're just trying to be the brightest light you can be and just keep your eyes on Jesus. And it's like every day the enemy's moving through your family or your friends and trying to just bring heaviness on you because they don't see Jesus like you see Jesus. Their eyes aren't opened. They don't see him in this move. God's going to do something different now because he needs you. He needs his revival army to be strong and to do the work of God. And so God means serious business now. We have to be free to do the work of God, to be soldiers. Nothing holding us back. The enemy's got to be silenced. We got work to do. We got serious, important work to do for Jesus. There's a lot of sick people that need healing and oppressed people that need freeing and lost people that need saving. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So now it's like we are seriously in the spiritual realm. It's really like we've been on a roundabout and we've been seeing miracles and we've seen God do amazing things. And we're like, we're praising God. We're left in awe and wonder. God, you're amazing. Revivals now. Yes. But it's just 1% of what it's supposed to be. And now we're getting off. We're exiting to revival highway. Revival wave highway. Where we can fly and see the great wonders of God that we've never seen before. Get ready. Buckle up. Get into this vehicle on the revival wave highway. We're going to step into a vehicle together in the spiritual realm, and we're going to zoom on this highway with Jesus and do the work of God and see him do wonder upon wonder. So we're going to go. Who will go with us? It's time to mean serious business now. Like, we've got work to do, all right? So we're going to go with who will go with us. You want to come in the vehicle and go on the revival wave highway? Then come. You're invited, come. But make up your mind, get in here, you're gonna miss it. Let's go, hallelujah. We're zooming forward now, not looking back. Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you so much for this season you have shifted us into now. God, we thank you for keeping us safe and protected and alive and strong and thriving in the wilderness. We thank you, God. And we thank you, Lord, for saying it's time now to get all or stop going around this mountain, this circle, in a circle, and to step off and go into the revival wave highway. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this honor to serve you. We are so excited, Lord, for what you're about to do, God. And we thank you for silencing all of our enemies. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, isn't it important to have the prophetic in the body? To know what season we're in. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Are you ready? We are going to be left in awe like never before. So be ready to work hard for God, to bring in this harvest. Be ready to go at fast speeds. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just want to declare over all of you right now. I want to declare right now that all of you who have felt weary, you felt weighed down. Enemies in your life have really been a hindrance in serving God, been a hindrance in being a bright light. I declare from now, let your enemies be silenced. Let the fear of God come upon all those who oppose you as a child of God, as a servant of God, all of those who oppose the work of God you are doing. Whatever the work of God is, even if it's just reading the word, even if it's just going to church, even if it's just going to whatever the church that you want to go to, it's a fight. I speak the fear of God to come upon your enemies now in Jesus' name. Let them be silenced. From now, may you be free. May you do the work of God with joy. May you serve God with joy. May you come to church with joy. May you read the word and spend time with Jesus with joy. Nothing holding you back anymore. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.